Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Hello, I'm Terry Cheek. You're listening to Crisis and Concern for April 30th, 2016. Welcome to a program that addresses current events and their solutions as found within God's Word. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download, available at sermonaudio.com/Pastor Terry, and we're also available on iTunes as the Inspiring Word podcast. Now on today's program, we're going to discuss a couple of events that are currently unfolding. One of them particularly older, but still continuing to unfold, and another one relatively new. But first, I want us to go to God's Word, and I want us to establish a foundation for us to talk on today, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, first of all, I want us to take an opportunity to visit some new developments in a relatively old case. Maybe you remember from last year the case of the baker in Colorado in the Denver area who was asked to bake a cake for a gay couple for a gay wedding. He refused on the basis of his religious convictions. The gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender commission of the Denver area, which was headed by the mayor, or was incorporated by the mayor's office anyway, they found him guilty of discrimination, and they said, you will bake this cake. It wasn't a matter of penalizing him with a penalty or a fine or something of that nature. They were attempting to force him to bake the cake, even though it was against his personal convictions. Well, he appealed it. It recently went to the Colorado Supreme Court, and they refused to hear it. They supported the GLBT Commission and its findings and its penalization. Now, it was interesting because it has been found and proven, and it has been accepted as fact that this man has been a Christian for approximately 35 years. This man believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This man has one goal in his life, and that is to be obedient to Jesus and his teachings in all aspects of his life. His testimony supports, without a doubt, the fact that he is a Christian. His testimony is there, his witness is there, his character is there. This man is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week Christian. He believes, and his life testifies to the fact that God's intention for marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and he believes the Bible gives specific commands to avoid doing anything that displeases God and don't do anything to encourage sin in his life or in the lives of others. It has also been proven by investigation that he believes that the decorating, the cake, the bakery art, the craft that he has is a gift of God, and through that gift he should be honoring God, and that doing things like same-sex weddings is not honoring God, and it is a violation of his beliefs. It is not against the individual people, but it is against the lifestyle that they have. He believes it dishonors God, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. So here is a born-again Christian living out his convictions in a testimony that has spanned 35 years. There is no question marks found upon his life, on his character, anything of that nature. There's no double standards that can be applied. There's none of that that takes place. Yet, they conclude that because he refuses to sell and bake a cake based upon same-sex relationships, that he's discriminatory. Okay? That is the commission's findings and supported by the state Supreme Court, which isn't surprising today because it is a reflection of worldliness. It is a reflection of lostness. And how do you expect lost people to behave? Like lost people, correct? I mean, let's get to the point of reality. They're lost people. They're not going to behave like a Christian. They're not going to understand and accept Christianity because they do not have Jesus Christ in their heart as Lord and Savior. Now, the commission really shot themselves in the foot, and so did the Supreme Court of Colorado, because previously there was another situation where a man brought a cake or the order for a cake into a bakery. And he asked for one to be made in the shape of a Bible with a verse printed across it. He was refused because it violated the religious convictions of the baker. When that was taken before this same commission, then the baker's rights were upheld and said, oh, he doesn't have to do that because it violates his conviction and it does not reflect on the individual asking for the cake. A double standard. But again, what do you expect from a lost world? From someone who doesn't know Jesus? They're going to be angry. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to be lashing out at Christianity, at Jesus. Now, let's go back to our verse. The first verse. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. I hope that this baker, through all of this persecution, and let's make no mistake, I'm not mincing words, it is persecution. We are seeing a new wave of persecution on Christianity. We're seeing it in America as judicial persecution. We're not trying to rewrite the Constitution because we know that that's not going to be possible. Even the ungodly, even the lost know that it isn't going to be possible to rewrite the Constitution. So what they're doing is going through the judicial system, and they're influencing the judicial system in such a way, and they're stacking it in such a manner, that the interpretation of the Constitution and the interpretation and application of those rights and liberties are what's going to be affected. And it's going to be lashing out against Christianity and against Christians in general. So what do we do? Well, there's a couple of things. We can revolt. We can engage in crusades and in warfare. And we can drop down to their level of attacks. And we can meet them on their terms, which is what they want. If the devil can get you to drop down to the level of your attacker and meet them on their terms, the devil is successful in destroying your testimony. That's what the Word of God wants us to see. We should not be ashamed because we are suffering persecution or in any way, shape, form, or fashion because of our Christianity. Now let's make certain that we know it's coming from our Christianity. We're not talking about something that is rightfully due us. We're not talking about when we fail, when we get in the flesh and we do the works of the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. We're not talking about faults and failures and those things being rightfully confronted to us. We should face those with a repentant conviction. And that is something that, again, has faltered in the church. We no longer have a repentant conviction toward our own failings and shortcomings. We are content with giving God an apology and moving on, and then the next time we feel like he catches us, we give him an apology again. God doesn't have to catch us. God already knows. God's looking for confessional repentance in the church and among believers. Now, a lot of the weakness that comes from the church today is because members are apologetic but not repentant. And that's something that we have to face and we have to deal with. I said there were two instances. Let me go on to the second one quickly. Here in North Carolina, North Carolina State University, there is a Christian group. Now, there are many groups that meet on these campuses around America. But here in North Carolina, there's one in particular called Grace Christian Life. It is a student group. It is a student group that is registered within the framework of the university to meet and to invite other students to come and participate with Bible studies and events and things of that nature. And with any group, all of these groups that are allowed to work like this require a permit. Well, Grace Christian Life is permitted to do so. However, last year in September, that group was told that they had to have another permit. They had to have a permit in order to approach people and invite people to come and be a part of their programs, be a part of their Bible studies, or even to talk to them in witnessing about Jesus Christ. Now, the school was wanting to stop and interfere with witnessing. That's what they were concerned about. They wanted to stop and they wanted to get folks to quit witnessing Jesus Christ to others. It wasn't about the meeting. It wasn't about the group. It wasn't about anything of that nature. The school wanted to stop the witnessing of Jesus Christ. Now, that's developed into a lawsuit. The Alliance Defending Freedom has stepped in, and they have taken the case, and they have tried to negotiate with North Carolina State University to get these things cleared up and out of the way. North Carolina State University says, absolutely not, we're not interested. It is what it is. That, again, there are some double standards that are being put in place there. Now, there have been some other things, developments that has taken place throughout the fall of 2015. And in November, there was another group there that they dissolved the relationship with them. And they specifically said that the current environment of diversity and faith traditions within the university is not shown or mirrored within CCM. CCM is the ministry group that they dissolved the relationship with. So, there's no real definition of faith tradition. However, by the work of CCM, which was a witnessing group again, it is appearing that they are singling them out because they are evangelical Christians. Evangelical Christians, those of us who proclaim the gospel, who witness to folks, who invite people to come and accept Jesus into their life. These are tenets that we have through the Great Commission. That is something that is lacking in our churches again today, is witnessing. You know, we talk about the weakness of the church. We talk about addressing poor church attendance, decline and dropping off and things of that nature. Well, when we look back historically over the church and we see the peaks and times when it was at its greatest height as far as influence, as far as God moving through the people and through the preaching and God moving through the church as being an influence in the communities and in the nations that housed it, we find that it is when Jesus Christ is being preached from the pulpit, when the Word of God is being preached without any apologies, without any compromise whatsoever, it is being preached as inerrant, infallible, and inspired. And we see individual Christians who have taken upon themselves to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We see an active church involved with the Great Commission and preaching that encourages it, empowers it, and directs it. And those things have disappeared from the church today. How often has it been, Christian, since you specifically and intentionally spoke with someone about Jesus Christ? How long has that been? Have you ever intentionally talked to someone about Jesus Christ? Have you ever prayed that God would put you in a position to talk to someone about Jesus Christ? If that opportunity did come, have you ever engaged that person? Many people today do not even want to discuss witnessing from a church. Many people today will not go to a church that even discusses and talks about witnessing, because witnessing is considered an extremist movement and all of that. Well, listen, it is given to us in the Great Commission to make disciples. If you're going to make disciples, you have to win them to Christ. They have to be saved and born again before you can make a disciple out of them. That happens by witnessing. That happens by letting people know that you are saved and that the authority that you have through Jesus Christ can be had by them as well. It is not something specific to you. It is something that you can share. Does your life live it? That's something that we come back to that we discussed previously. The weakness of the church comes from a lack of conviction, a lack of repentance from Christians. Are you repentant of the faults and failures that are in your life? Does your life reflect biblical conviction? That's something that we have to move forward. Church, we can't expect the world to accommodate us, to live like us. We cannot expect the world to respect us unless we are working under the authority of the Word of God. And that's where we have to come back to. Well, I hope this broadcast has been a blessing of encouragement and enlightenment. Our desire is to reach as many people as possible. And to accomplish this, we desperately need your help. Not your money, just your help. By sharing our podcast with others, you will help us share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want everyone to know that I'm a grassroots pastor from a small church in Western North Carolina. And this church is comprised of everyday people. I'm no celebrity. My church members are not celebrities. I'm not affiliated with the seminary in any way, shape, form, or fashion, though I support many. I don't have a television program, though I do broadcast over sermonaudio.com. I'm just simply a pastor who loves God and loves doing the work of God. So will you help us by telling others about the Inspiring Word? Again, you can find us by searching the Preacher's Journal through any web browser. You can find us by visiting sermonaudio.com/Pastor Terry. Or you can find us through iTunes as the Inspiring Word. I want to thank you again, and until next time, may God bless you, is my prayer.